Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Am I excited for today's show? You bet your kick-ass I am. First off, I'd like to just raise the point that it's been Rail Safety Week here all week, and the message to each and everyone being, Rail Safety Week is an annual community awareness week held in Australia and New Zealand designed to engage the community in safe rail practices. Now, ongoing commuter safety relies on those interacting with the rail environment, both pedestrians and commuters, to play an active role in rail safety. In particular, to be aware of their surroundings. Viewing and listening to smart devices is a social norm which may contribute to commuter distraction and complacency. So this year, Rail Safety Week reinforces to the community specific actions required to stay safe around rail. So the message is stand back, look up, stay rail safe. And these rail safety messages remain relevant all year round, regardless of it just being Rail Safety Week this week. So there's a couple of tips, like a moment of distraction can change your life forever. And then unsafe actions around trains and trams can affect a rail worker's life forever. And a person is killed or injured on the Australian rail network every 2.5 days. So stand back, look up, and stay rail safe. Now, today on the show, we are going to get a good hit of inspiration. We are talking with one of our very own special online American guests, Jade Hollis, who is sales director for the company Nexus Alpha USA and based in Tampa, Florida. Now, Jade has throughout her career journey had a variety of jobs and roles from construction, renewable energy, designing bespoke wedding stationery, to having several years off to raise her two gorgeous children. Now, we're going to hear about what Jade has created during her time in the pandemic and what got her inspired to do so. Instead of seeing the lockdown as a problem, Jade saw it as an opportunity, and I'm in full support of her, and I can only reiterate that we were made for this. Women starting invaluable resources and businesses in lockdown. Despite the economic gloom, many females are seeing opportunities during the pandemic to inspire, create, innovate, and empower others. And Jade is just one of those amazing women who inspire and are leading through the pandemic. You are listening to Kick-Ass Radio Show, Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glowgetter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour. And a huge shout-out to all the women working out on track and on site today, all over the globe. May you stay safe and have a fantastic day or night shift. And this might also be a good time to put it out there that today's radio show may and does contain some adult language. Let's get into it. Hello, Jade, and welcome to Kick-Ass Radio.
Hello, Jo. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So how are we over in Tampa, Florida this morning?
Yep, it's lovely over here. Always sunny, so enjoying it over here in the heat.
Yes. It's been a couple of years, I think 2018 was the last time I was over in Florida. So it was early July we were there. So yes.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, it's a hot time of year.
It was very warm, I must say. So Jade, tell us a little bit about your journey and where you've been and what you're doing.
So my journey's been an interesting one. It's definitely I've definitely followed a very different path to what I envisaged I would sort of follow as a child. I did a fine arts degree in fine art, and that was my passion. I loved art. I was always painting and drawing and being creative. And my dream was to either be an art teacher or just to be an artist. But I graduated in a recession in 2008. And I think one of my final lectures was how to sign on to get benefits. And I was shocked. I was like, oh God, this doesn't sound like what I'd envisaged. So I applied for job after job after job, and no one would even get back to me. I wouldn't even get a rejection letter. It was just silence. And it was very disheartening. So I basically offered myself up for free and worked for a PR company for a very short period of time, just a few weeks. Didn't get paid for it. And I was so excited because I thought, oh, I'll definitely get a job here if I'm offering myself for free. And I went along and they sent us up to a room. And the whole room was full of students that weren't getting paid.
Oh.
So I was just like, wow, it's difficult times. If there's that many of us up here offering our services for free, I'm never going to get this job. So I ended up pretty much saying that this isn't for me. I did a week there and got some experience, and then thought I really need to concentrate on finding a proper job. So I kind of stopped being so narrow-minded and looking for the sort of artsy side. And my dad worked for a construction company. And he said, well, why, we've got an opening for a PR officer. You could come and, have a look. So I applied for it and I got an interview. And I started working for a construction company. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure about this. But it was great. I got a lot of experience. It was the men were very friendly, really helped me out. And actually, I had a huge problem with my boss there, who was a female, and she was awful to work for. And she used to make the two other girls that I worked with cry on a regular basis.
Oh,
And I was
really?
like, gosh, I didn't think it would be this way around. I thought working in a construction company, I'd find it harder, maybe being with the men. But
That's right, role reversal, exactly, yes.
It was actually really difficult with one of the women there. So I tried to sort it out, but nothing ever happened. So I would come home miserable every evening, and my husband said, well, why didn't you apply for another job? And I was like, well, I hadn't thought of that. You kind of think, well, you're in a job, that's what
And
you
that's
should do.
it.
So I had a look around, and I spent a few years at this company. I had a look around and I couldn't find anything. And then my husband said, well, what about this position? And it was for a sale, like a business development manager. And I was like, well, I'm not qualified to do that. Because I think women quite often downplay themselves, don't they?
All the
And
time.
it was, yeah, exactly. And it was for a business development manager for a renewables company. And I said, oh, there's no way I could do that. I haven't got the skill set. I don't know anything about it. And he said, just try it. And so I did, just because he pushed me, and I got the job. And it was a huge pay rise and a title change, and I got a company car, and it was incredible. I was like, what?
These jobs are out there.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, that was really easy. And I think, the guy who employed me was quite excited to have a female on board because I was the first female to come and work for the company that wasn't in a secretarial role. And it was, I think we were both just as excited as each other because he was really looking forward to having somebody who had a different approach, I think, and a different way of doing things. So in that job, it was all renewable solar panels, solar thermal. And I had to go to clients' houses or clients' businesses and measure up and tell them what systems they could have. I'd design the systems and computer software and go to networking events. And yeah, it was great. I felt really empowered. And I absolutely loved it. But then I think it was not long after, only about 8 months later, my husband got approached by a rival construction company to the one I was working to originally, asking him if he'd be interested in a role with them to do business development. And my husband already had a great job and was like, no, I'm not interested, but I know someone who might be. And he passed me over the details and I was like, well, I haven't been with this company for long. And he was like, yeah, but you know what? I think you're doing a great job and this would be another step up for you. So I was like, well, I'll go for the interview and I'll just see what happens. And I went along to the interview and they loved me and offered me an even bigger pay rise. And I was working for a huge company, multi sort of national company, in construction again. And it was fantastic. They really looked after me there and offered me some great opportunities. I became a member of their junior board that they'd set up. And it was fantastic. And they actually had a woman director for this company too. So I think they really had a strong ethos for looking after women and trying to get women in higher roles, which I really admired. So said in construction, I was there for several years and really loved it and had to unfortunately stop because I had children. I was sad to sort of walk away, but I was very passionate about looking after my children and spending the first few years with them. So I set up my own company doing wedding stationery, bespoke wedding stationery, because I like to have a challenge. I love looking after my kids, but I also really love sort of doing business and making things. So it kind of combined the experience I'd had in business along with my creative outlet from university. So yeah, I really enjoyed doing that. And at that point, me and my husband were, I was actually born in Florida. So my parents are British. Mm-hmm. I took him there on holiday and he fell in love with it and was like, I want to move there. So one day we were both sort of like, well, let's change our lives. And we literally sold everything. We sold the entire contents of our house. We sold our house. My husband was in a great job. He was a managing director for an insulation company at the time. He quit his job and we literally used the money with everything that we sold to just move to Florida. Oh, really? And we didn't have a job to go to, neither of us. We had a small child, a two-year-old child. And we just took the gamble and it was crazy. And my husband went from managing director to a sales rep overnight, and he found a job working for a concrete company, and I just stayed at home with my son. We moved around a bit until we found some better jobs, and eventually my husband worked for the company that I work for now, Nexus Alpha USA, and he needed some extra support, so he took me on as well, and now we kind of work in the transportation sector, doing railway signage, and signage for buses, but we've also sort of become a reseller of products. So we resell a whole variety of products from augmented reality to traffic signage. So it's a very varied role now. But yes, again, still very male dominated. So I keep ending up in these male dominated sort of little sectors, which is interesting.
It is. And that's a great diverse array of roles that you've accomplished over your career. And it's obvious that you've worked hard at developing a broad range of business skills, and particularly, dabbling in that creative side where you've done your study, but you didn't actually actively pursue that.
Yes.
Look where you've ended up. Like that's a great achievement, Jade, on what you've accomplished over those years. And in regards to our family lives, I think we all take that opportunity at some stage where we do the upheaval, we relocate our whole families. I know my husband and I and our family, we were on the move every 12 months, 14 months for a period of years there with his role in his, he has an earth moving company, and he was relocating, having to relocate to a home, a new base station, just over every 12 months. So we had two young children at the time, and I was doing that, and we did that, and we've ended up here in central Queensland where we've been for the last 20 plus years.
But oh, yeah, lovely.
I think we all kind of have go through that little gypsy stage where we think, no, that's it. Yes. Let's just do it, and we're out of there. But
exactly.
And they're all great learning experiences, and it's great to, you know, see life from a different scenery.
Oh, it really is. And I think it's really helped me to realize what it is that I want from life, and what makes me happy and what makes my family happy. I think having all these varied experiences, from good experiences to bad experiences, it's really allowed me to become in tune with my life, I think.
Mm. And they are. And we need the combination of both good experiences and bad experiences to learn in our lives. So we were just talking, you know, you were talking about working through the male-dominated industries. How have you championed your way through that? Like, were there any particular challenges you experienced in any of those roles that actually gave you a bit more of a guiding light? And
yes, it was difficult at times. I was young as well when I first started. I was early 20s. And you feel like an adult at that age, but you know, you look back and you see you're still a kid, really. And I just threw myself.
You're still a kid, and you're a young parent, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I just threw myself into the deep end. Yeah, you know, most of the roles that I've gone through was to sort of be the face of the company, sort of sales and marketing roles, and I would have to be client facing. I would have to be go to networking events, and I'd also have to go on sites a lot of the time, like construction sites. And it was really difficult because I was so nervous. I remember very vividly my first experience of going on a networking event, and I opened the doors early one morning and walked into the room, and it was full of men in suits. And there I was with my little dress and my handbag and my high heels. I felt like Bambi. My legs sort of buckled underneath me, and I walked in, and I was so aware of every movement I made. And I felt like everyone was watching me, although they probably weren't. You know, it was just one of those.
Intimidation first look at, like, yeah, what am I doing here? I don't belong here.
Exactly. And I thought, you get that imposter syndrome, don't you? Oh, they're gonna find me out. And I'm like, yes. Find me out for what? You know, I'm just doing a job here. And I walked in, and you know, I had a great mentor actually in my first role. And he basically said to me, don't be nervous, use the butterflies in your stomach as your advantage. So instead of being nervous, use them as the energy that fuels you to speak to people and sort of draw people towards you with that. And he said, you have one mouth and two ears. You have one mouth for a reason, because and two ears, so you can listen more. Mm. And I'd never thought of it like that. I always thought like you had to just chat and, you know, fill the time with chatting. And he said, don't, just listen. He said, don't be afraid of the silences. Just be comfortable, you know, surround yourself with it. Be comfortable with it. If there's a pause, there's a pause. And just sit back, relax, take a deep breath and listen. So I did. And I listened, and it was the best advice I've ever had. And it allowed me to get to know people very well on the circuit. And in the construction industry, I ended up being quite well known, because I think I would listen so much to people. I would remember all this information on them. And the next time I saw them at events, I'd say, oh, how was the golf tournament? Or, have you moved house yet? And I'd remember all the personal bits that actually meant something to these people. And I think that kind of gave me an edge over some of the men in the industry that were in the same role as me. because I kind of made it more personal and it wasn't just about business. So that really, it empowered me to turn something negative into something really positive. There were big challenges too. I'd go on site often and there would be men on site and they would do their usual. They would, jeer and wolf whistle. And I did find that uncomfortable to start with. And, I'd go home at night and be like, I've got to think of some clever response to say to them next time. And I never would. I'd never say anything. And after a while, I'd just get used to it and be like, do you know what? It's a compliment. Smart, just smile. And that's all I would do in the end. I'd just smile and walk on and just treat it as a compliment and be comfortable with that. And I think, sometimes as women, we overthink these things and it's just like, well, as long as people aren't being mean to you, just accept it as a compliment. So, yeah.
It is. And that comes back to, response versus react. So
yes,
it's better to conduct yourself in that manner rather than to react to it.
Definitely. Oh, well, that's it. And I think you kind of in just smiling, it just makes them, they can't do anything back really.
No, that's right. And that's right. Like the glass ceiling stands defiant still and resolute across much of our workplaces, both here in the USA and further abroad. And it's still confronting many women who dare to achieve, and all too often it's all unseen and unacknowledged to progress. The ceilings aren't even cracked in some areas. But, definitely. You've brilliantly captured your fears and failures and gone on to successfully challenge the status quo. So congratulations there.
Thank you, Jo. I think women sometimes are their own worst enemies. I honestly,
we are. Yes.
If it hadn't been for my husband sort of championing me, I probably would still be in that PR role because, sometimes we just don't go for opportunities because we think we're not good enough or we don't know how to do it. And sometimes you just got to, bite the bullet and go. And do it. And what's the worst that's going to happen at the end of the day? You don't get a job. You don't, if you've got to try these things.
That's right. And as you said, what's the worst could happen? The answer could be no, or, mm-hmm. you don't get that job, but you take a step back and you go and do it all again. And who's to say that you don't take three steps forward on the next attempt? The opportunities are out there and the possibilities are limitless.
Definitely.
Now that we're coming back to us all traversing this life as we know it now with the pandemic, talk us through your experience with the pandemic and how you came about with the inspiration to create this amazing group you have now, as in Women in Transportation Together.
Well, I basically had a break from having children, roughly 5 or 6 years in which I did sort of dabble a bit in my own business, but nothing too much. And I started this new role in Florida for Nexus Alpha USA. And I was so excited, getting back into work again. I enrolled the kids in school. I felt like I was starting to, have a bit of my own time back again. So I really threw myself into it. But, 3 months into it, or 2 months into it even, coronavirus hit. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I was at home with two kids and a job. And I was just like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do here? But I was very lucky that my work was incredibly flexible. They understood the situation and allowed us to do flexi time. They weren't strict on the hours as long as we got the work done. So, that really helped. Amongst that, we found, obviously, as many businesses did out there, everything slowed down to a very slow pace. It was difficult to get new clients. We couldn't go out and meet people anymore. And it just everything seemed to come to a bit of a halt. I felt sorry for all the women out there. I thought that I can't be the only one in this situation. I'm very lucky that I have such flexible hours. I'm sure there's women out there that aren't, have got the same story as me, but don't have that flexibility. And it made me worry and wonder about how people were going to cope with that. So I decided to set up Women in Transportation as a support network to, you know, reach out to women, see how they were getting on, especially because the women in the male-dominated society, I know, would have the issue of having children, but expected to have the same level of work commitment as their male counterparts. Mm. So I set it up because I thought, well, if we can support each other, then at least maybe that could help a bit. And also, you know, I used to be part of a women in construction group back in the day when I was in construction, and it was just such a great a place to be. And we, you know, we involved men as well, but I think it just helped women feel confident in the industry. So we set it up, and we wanted to showcase as many women as we possibly could to try and promote them, try and make them feel confident, and to try and get them to network with other women who were in similar roles, and also to try and encourage younger people who were looking for careers to consider the transportation sector, because I don't think it's publicized enough. Of course, I'd heard of it, but I never had it in career fairs, or no one ever sort of said, why don't you try this sector? So, you know, I thought it was an important thing to try and start doing and try and encourage women to get up in this industry, because if more women don't join the industry, then it's never going to change.
Exactly right. No truer statement could be said. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Exactly. And we can't sit here and blame it on the employers if we're not going out there and going to the interviews. I knew from firsthand experience, from what I've explained to you earlier, that I didn't feel like I could put myself in those positions. And it wasn't until somebody, you know, my husband said, you know, just go for it, that I did it. So I knew there'd be more women out there that would be feeling the same as me. So I just wanted to encourage people to just go and get it.
Yes, that's right. The inspiration that you got to find your own feet and do this, it's a fantastic resource and network that will definitely inspire and dispel any self-doubt, and more importantly, motivate normal everyday women from all ages and walks of life to take control of their careers and their working futures. And it's in particular in these times, it's a good time to do a reflection and say, well, you know, am I happy where I am doing what I'm doing in my current job or role? You know, maybe it is time for a change. So
exactly.
having these groups like Women in Transportation Together, like Kick-Ass Women, they're great outlets to converse, to share your experiences, to ask for advice, to listen firsthand to other women that are working in these industries and gain their perspectives, and talk to as many women as you can find, because the more variety that you get, you know, you might have your mindset on something that you've selected that you thought you might pursue, but then after you're talking to someone and finding out what their role entails, the conditions they work in or what they have to do, you might think, oh no, that's not for me. So you go and find something else. And they're not groups built on War of the Roses. They're more so for finding out what truly floats your boat and ultimately what makes you happy. After all, that's what life's about, isn't it?
And we're a completely free resource. You know, anyone can promote themselves, their business, whatever on our site. And, you know, we have some great connections. So if people just are looking for those connections, we can point them in the right direction and hopefully help them out with finding, you know, something different.
Yeah. All right then, Jade, we're just going to take a little 30-second break and listen to one of our show's sponsors, and we'll be back to chat again shortly. Won't be long.
Hey, Glowgetters, have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website
at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, glow getters.
Thanks for tuning back in, where we are chatting to Jade Hollis of Women in Transportation Together. So, Jade, who has been your biggest supporter? And I know we just talked about your mentor before, but any other big supporters or role models over the course of your career?
Yes, definitely plenty of them. And, you know, I know we talked about this before in another conversation. They are such important people. You need to really grab hold of them and hang on to them, because the more people that you can get to support you through your journey, the better. And they love it too. That's the other thing. It's I think my biggest supporter is probably my husband. Mm-hmm. You know, he really, I would not be where I am today in my career sector without him pushing me to do, you know, to try. And, you know, and he always tells me, well, it wasn't me, you know, you got the job. And definitely, but I would have just stayed in the same role probably and sort of festered. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has been great for giving me that confidence and moving me forwards and making me have a higher opinion of myself, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's so many women's problem, is that they just sort of a wallflowers, or kind of think, well, I'm good at what I do, so I'll stick to this. Mm. And they don't challenge themselves often. That's so he's been a great inspiration to me. And he's sort of done it himself as well. He's moved around until he's been comfortable and gotten into exactly the position he's wanted to be. And so I've just sort of followed in his footsteps. And, you know, anything's possible. You just have to, you want to change your life, change your life. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work, but okay, we bounce back and, you know, change it until it does work.
It's about stepping out of your comfort zone. You really need to take that step and try it. And as we said before, if it doesn't work, fine. You know, we learn by failure. So
definitely,
if you have to take a step back, that's fine, because you'll end up taking a couple of steps forward.
And, you will.
Like, external mentors are great, and they're great to use as sounding boards for your ideas and strategies.
Exactly.
They come through with a fresh perspective, and they won't get caught up in all the details. Like, you know, we're all prone to our limiting self-beliefs. And
yes,
also internal mentors, you know, preferably from maybe not the department that you work in at your company, but from another department, they're also a great resource, as they
yes.
can promote you and your work within that company and across the organisation. So
exactly.
that helps you get more visibility, and it gives you, you know, builds confidence in yourself again. So
it
having
does.
Mentors and role models is so important.
It really is.
Your development and growth in your career and in your self-confidence. So
it really is.
Big champions of, you know, finding a mentor and a supporter or a sponsor, definitely in your career.
Exactly. Yep. It's key. It really is. It will help you to get over obstacles that you can't get over yourself, because they'll see it from fresh perspectives. It's great.
All right. So what do you think are the top three things organisations can do to be more inclusive for females?
That's an interesting question. I think there's a few things, certainly. I think hiring women in higher roles is a big one. And I still see it in so many corporations today. It's getting better, but it's still very male heavy when you get to board level. In a lot of these big organizations. Now, again, though, I'm going to say this, repeat myself and say, I think some women are to blame for not putting themselves out there again. Because obviously, if the person who's looking for a director in his company hasn't got a woman to interview, then she's not going to get the role. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be done from both organization and from women just boosting their confidence and pushing themselves. But yeah, I would really like to see some more women in higher roles, and not just like a token woman as well. Not just like, oh, we have a female director, or oh, we have not one female on our board. You know, I'd like to see some male dominated boards out there. That would be fantastic. Where there's like, oh, we have a male director. That would be great. So it would be nice to see that. And it's, I can definitely see it sort of growing through gradually. But yes, I would like to see a bit more of that. So that's the first one. I think not mixing professional life with personal life is a big one. Sort of, you know, I think you do get a lot of judgment by the maternity leave and being pregnant. I know when I was in construction, I was treated very differently when I was pregnant. The men treated me very differently, and obviously for safety reasons I wasn't allowed on site, but then all of a sudden it was like, some people were a bit like, well, you can't do your job properly, and I was like, well, I think you're fine, I can, I'm exactly the same person that I was 6 months ago,
just carrying more weight.
Yes. Exactly. So, you know, I just wish more companies would sort of not mix the whole professional and personal life. I think keep those two things separate unless there's a reason to. That's one of them. I think a lot of companies are still quite old fashioned in that regard. And then sort of fair pay as well. I still see, even I know one of the companies I worked for, they promoted a woman who had been there for years and years and years doing a fantastic job. They promoted her to director, but they didn't give her a pay rise with it. And she was on half the pay of all the other directors in the company. And I just found that disgusting. And I thought she was really pleased. And I thought that was great, but it shouldn't be like that. It really shouldn't be like that. She shouldn't be grateful just because they put her up to that level. It should be the full package. It made me really angry, that did. And you know, part of me thought, oh, I think I'd have to reject it just on principle.
And really, you know, and that's a real thing, because there is scientific, or there's research out there, and I only talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that there's a data out that it's John versus Jenny, and researchers put up two exact same CVs or resumes of technically trained male and a female, and John got the job over Jenny, but the resumes were exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And then they offered Jenny the same job, but they only offered her half the pay. But they,
yeah,
it's, you know,
it's terrible. It's something needs to be done for that.
It's a biased, a gendered bias that we've grown up with. It's still in the world today, but it's I think women find themselves in an impossible dilemma. You know, if they do not behave assertively, they can't demonstrate leadership competence. That's the perception. But if they do behave assertively, then they're considered less, you know, promotable, because they're too out there.
And, exactly.
I truly believe that if change is going to happen, then it's not about positioning issues around the gender and workplace practices. It's because they're exclusively, you know, they're not an exclusive women's issue. The overarching recommendation is that what's good for implementing changes around getting more women into the industries, it's an overall good decision for all employees, you know, equality.
It is.
That's what we want. Yeah.
Exactly. That's it. And there wouldn't be this constant sort of battling going on to try and fight for it if it was. And, you know, the trucking industry is definitely sort of getting up there with sort of that fair pay, because they pay, I think, by the mile, by the hour. So it doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what you are. You get paid the same across the board. And I think that more businesses should take a leaf out of their book and work that way.
Most really definitely, do. Yeah. And I know in my industry, in the rail here in Queensland, like we're on all equal pay. We all get paid the exact same amount. So it's,
well, that's great to hear
it
as well.
Is, yes, in our local sector here. So that's a win for us. So that's great.
That's great. I think transportation is certainly up there with pay parity, and it's, you know, I think it's starting to, this is why, you know, trying to promote it is a great sector to join for people leaving university or school or whatever. I think there's some great money to be earned, some great experiences. Oh. And great opportunities for all ages, for all genders. It's fantastic.
And that's exactly right. There's lots of opportunity out there, and lots of opportunity to secure a financial future, especially for the younger ones.
It's
a great industry to be involved in. So how can our listeners connect with you, Jade?
So currently we're just on Instagram and we're WIT_INT or Women in Transportation Together. We've just set up a Facebook page, but there's nothing really on it at the moment. But I think you could still find us if you wanted to. And then we're looking at setting up a LinkedIn page soon, probably an email address and a website, but that's going to be in the next couple of months. So in the meantime, we're on Instagram and Facebook, so come and find us.
Excellent. Well, it's been great to have a catch up, Jade, and always another inspiring and invaluable conversation we've had today. We wish you all the best for the growth, development and inspiration for Women in Transportation Together. And we will put all your links up in the show notes after the show.
Thank you, Jim.
And we say thank you, take care and stay safe. And we'll look forward to having another chat to you later in the year, Jade.
Thank you for your time, Jo.
All right.
Hey, Glowgetters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book High Heels to High Viz and has been named an Amazon #1 bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones and eBay.
Well, that's it, guys. I do hope you enjoyed our show and our guest, Jade Hollis from Women in Transportation Together. A very big special thank you again to Jade for sharing so much invaluable information. And I hope you've all found it inspiring and that it gives you something to ponder and think about over the weekend. Why should we work to create equal opportunity for women in all industries? Research shows having more women on teams and in leadership positions leads to more innovation, higher return on investments, and better problem solving, and increased mentorship and sponsorship opportunities for one and all. It's all about awareness that being diverse as a business drives innovation and growth. And I have never been the one to be a loud feminist, but I have always found myself in situations where I am in a minority, having worked in a number of male-dominated industries. Secretly, I don't mind it. And I understand that females bring another perspective to the table. And thankfully, at a number of these companies nowadays, most of the males think this way too. Businesses need to keep talking about it. Society needs to keep talking about it. Social media has been incredible when it comes to strong, dominant females owning a lot of the conversation across topics and issues like these. It has provided great platforms for anyone, male or female, short, tall, black, white, to have a voice. I think that this next generation will be fine and we will start to see the divide go. Women are stronger together. Find a network of women who support your goals, just like Women in Transportation Together and Kick-Ass Women. We believe in a future where gender equality in the workplace is no longer a topic among leadership teams and HR departments. Together, we must all take action. By inspiring conversations, professional development, and culture change, we have the opportunity to create a springboard for all women to reach higher. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to the radio show. You can find more information on this episode and Jade and Women in Transportation Together in the show notes or on my social media pages. Visit the website, www.kickasswomen.com.au. Be sure to tune in again next week, where we're going to have a chat with Michelle Bowditch of Door 20A. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to get the latest episodes sent directly to you. Well, that's all for today's show. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. Keep in touch. Pos comms always. Go on, get your glow on. Become a glow-getter.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.